we're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The Creative Entrepreneur, making and selling physical goods. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business.
Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome back to Proof to Product. Today, Brittany Lynn, my publicist and the CEO of the Human Connection Agency, is back. Brittany was on the show 3 different times. This is her 3rd time. She was previously on episode 66, 133, and 134, where we talked about pitching yourself to podcasts and general PR strategies. I'll include all 3 of those links in the show notes here. But the Human Connection Agency is a PR agency that serves purpose-driven entrepreneurs worldwide. She has over 10 years experience working in the online marketing industry, and has a passion for helping others grow their reach, their revenue, and their impact through strategic PR. On today's episode, we're talking about why visibility isn't your problem, even though you think it might be. Specifically, we talk about core fears people have around being visible, why people aren't prioritizing visibility, and how you can make the most of your press mentions. Brittany recently did a presentation in our labs community where she showed us how to craft a killer bio and write a pitch to the press. She provided us with several sample pitches that we could repurpose on our own, so be sure to join our labs program to access this training and the workbook, as well as all of our archives of trainings. More details about this 12-month group coaching program can be found at prooftoproduct.com/labs. Now let's jump in. Hey, Brittany, welcome back to Proof to Product.
Thank you so much. So this is my 3rd time on, and dare I say, am I the only 3rd time guest?
I think you are. We had you on for episode 66, where we talked about like gaining visibility for your brand, and really like it was kind of the beginner starter kit for PR stuff. And then you came on with Caroline Hall, our podcast editor. And what did we talk about then? It was like a 2-part episode because we talked
about like podcast pitching and like the do's and the don'ts, like the bad pitches that we all see. Like we talked about it from her perspective as a podcast editor, mine from like a pitching perspective, and also being the person that I receive all of the pitches for Proof to Product. And I also invite all of the guests on for Proof to Product. So it was just like a podcast fest.
I liked your first one too, but I really thought that one was impactful. Like I got a lot of emails about that one because people were starting to get excited to pitch themselves to more things. You know, today though, I want to talk about, I have so many things I want to talk to you about. You and I have conversations day in and day out behind the scenes, but for the listeners today, I really want to talk about visibility as it ties to results for our business and also some of the like mindset hangups that come from this. So you recently sent out an email where the title just like made me pause. It was "Visibility Isn't Your Problem" was the title. Mm-hmm. And you shared in that email 2 primary reasons why people aren't visible in their business. And the first one was fear. And the second reason was that they don't prioritize visibility. Can we dive into each of these separately?
Yes, absolutely. Let's dive in.
Okay.
And I will say that was a popular email newsletter. So it not only stopped you in your tracks, like it stopped other people as well.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, your emails have been on fire lately. So guys, if you're not on Brittany's email list, you need to go. She gives lots of great PR nuggets and marketing strategies and things. But so the first one was fear. So what types of core fears do people have around being visible? What are you seeing in your clients, in all the people you work with?
Mm-hmm. It's a great question. So, and I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. I've worked with a lot of product-based people. I work with service-based people. And so one, I want to kind of like normalize the fear. I think a lot of people, when they see these other business owners who are maybe, you know, years ahead of them, or, you know, if they have this brick and mortar shop that you see and you're like, oh, wow, like that's who I aspire to be. Those people that you aspire to be had these same fears.
Yeah.
Everyone has them. And so I just want to normalize it. Like there isn't a stage of business where you don't experience these things anymore. So if you're trying to look for to completely get rid of it, like it's not going to happen. Like I hate to break it to you. And even like, you know, Katie can share from her experience.
Oh,
like you've been
in
business for over 10 years. Like it's just, it doesn't go away. And so the typical core fears that I see people have, and these are not just related to visibility, but just like in general, in life, these are the fears that people have. People fear, you know, being wrong or, you know, being perceived as like bad or like inappropriate. Like nobody wants to be wrong.
Right.
Being rejected or unwanted, that kind of leads to thoughts of worthiness or unworthiness of love. Nobody wants to be rejected. You don't want to put yourself out there and then, you know, be told no. That's not a great feeling, right?
Right.
Another one is being seen as a failure, being seen as incompetent, being kind of, you know, exposed to everyone. A fourth one is being inadequate, being like defective, like something is wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Or the final one is like people have a fear of feeling fear. Like they fear the thought of having the fear. And so then they don't take action and they don't put themselves forward. And again, this can be related to visibility, but this is just related to just in life in general. Nobody wants to be rejected. Everybody wants to feel loved and accepted. They want to feel adequate. But these are the things that hold people back from putting themselves out there. And it makes sense, right? Because it's a thing that tries to keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I have these same things too. Like, I don't want to look like a failure. I don't want to appear inadequate. Like, I don't want to be wrong. But I say all of this. It is hard work to do this, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard work to be visible, to put yourself out there. And when we're talking about visibility, this can be anything from being on a podcast interview. This can be going onto TV. This could be, you know, pitching your products for gift guides or roundups or, you know, anything like that. But it can also be going on your Instagram.
I was just going to say that. Instagram lives. Stories, Facebook Lives, mm-hmm. any of these things that even on your own you're doing, right?
Yeah, even just like things to grow your – sending emails to your audience. That's being visible. That's you putting your thoughts out there. And I'm sure that some people read my email and were probably like, this is garbage. Like, bye. Like, you know, there were probably some people that didn't like it. But one thing that I speak to with my clients, with people that I see this with, that I remind myself of, is I love Brené Brown. And she always talks about vulnerability. And in her book, Daring Greatly, she explains that we are all afraid of making ourselves vulnerable, which is like what we're doing with this, right? It's like putting ourselves out there, being vulnerable. You know, study after study shows that a majority of people that are out there, they are rooting for you. Nobody wants to see you fail. Nobody, right. You know, a very small amount of people want to see that or want you to be rejected. And so people, for the most part, they admire others' courage to do things, to stand up for what they believe in, to, you know, speak their mind, to have that impact in the world. And so if you're not putting yourself out there, you don't get to be out in front of the people that need to hear you the most. And I know a lot of your listeners and a lot of your shop owners, they're making really impactful products, right?
Yeah, like, hugely impactful. They are,
you know, helping different communities, helping different nonprofits. There's so many of you out there that really do have a specific mission. And so I just wouldn't want you to have one of these core fears hold you back from putting yourself out there just because it's hard to be vulnerable. Because it is hard to be vulnerable.
It is, yeah.
But, you know, the thing that we're trying to protect ourselves of, you know, it could be the source of our greatest strength, right? So it's like putting ourselves out there and being vulnerable and having courage. Like, that could be what people admire us the most for.
Totally.
So that's kind of about core fears. Any, like, other things that are popping up with that?
Well, yes, but I want to move into the second point because I think that this ties in hand is you said that people don't prioritize their visibility. And so why do you think that is?
So, it's
the fear paired with other things too, right?
Right, right. So I think sometimes it's like we say that we don't have time for it and that we don't prioritize it. But what it really is we have one of these fears, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there are times, and maybe I'm going to be different from every other PR person out there, but like there are times where it is okay if you don't prioritize it. There are seasons for every type of business owner. And so you might be in this season where you really need to be like into product development, or you're really focusing on wholesaling or trade shows, whatever it is. Or maybe you're growing your family and like that's what you need to focus on. So it is okay to say, hey, look, I have all these things going on. I'm not prioritizing this. Yeah. I would rather you just not feel guilty about it and embrace it.
I love that you share that, because I want to share a personal example with the listeners on this. I can think of two times in my time with Proof to Product where I have made a conscious, intentional decision not to prioritize my visibility. The first was in at the end of 2016, when I said, okay, I'm not going to speak on anyone's stages for 2017. I'm going to focus, because I had just had my fourth baby and that year was wild. I actually did a podcast about that. But like, I made the intentional decision to, I'm going to forego this piece of visibility. But in exchange, I started the podcast and I made some other choices to focus on, right? So sometimes it's a matter of like, I'm not going to focus on this piece, but I'm going to focus on this piece. But also, when was it? Was it last year? It must have been last year where I said to you, I can't do anyone else's podcast right now. Yep. I said, I don't have the bandwidth. I got three kids homeschooling and a fourth that I don't know what to do with because she's too little to go to school.
the fourth is just hanging out.
Yeah, she, poor girl. She's like picking weeds. But yeah, I was like, I can't do anyone else's podcast right now. And so like, I made that intentional decision, and we've had conversations along the way of, okay, is this something you want to start rolling out again? We did, however, have some other opportunities come up. You know, I had TV interviews that came up at the last minute, and we did some written publications and stuff. So I guess what I want to encourage the listeners to think about is, it's okay to say no to certain segments. It's okay to not prioritize things if the season of life is there. But one thing that resonated with me is, whatever we prioritize in our business is going to grow. So if visibility is something that you want to grow, then you have to prioritize it. So I just kind of wanted to show both sides of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was smart of you, where 2020 was like a hard year for everyone. We all had to pick our priorities.
Yeah.
So that's why I say it's like, you don't always have to prioritize it, but make the decision. And then you don't have to have that guilt of like, I should be doing this, and this.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we don't prioritize it. And we should. And I think this is a time where you can be really honest with yourself of like, are you always prioritizing other things whenever you should be prioritizing yourself, like as the business owner, as a client?
Yep.
Do you not have time because you keep saying yes to a million things, even though you don't really want to do half of those things? And that's like both in life and in business, right? Like a lot of times we're asked to do things in life, sign up for the bake sale, like man this booth at whatever. And you say yes because you feel like you should, but ultimately like you really just don't want to be doing those things. And again, if you want to prioritize growth for your business, growth of new customers, new leads, that's the point of visibility.
Right.
You know, something's got to give. So if you don't have the time, if you actually don't have the time, you need to start saying no to some things. Is there something that you can let go of so that you can prioritize visibility? And you don't have to spend 20 hours a week like doing this type of stuff. You can hone in and, you know, a few hours a week, dedicated time, focusing on one thing. And also you don't have to be everywhere all at once too. You don't have to have like Instagram reels, and you have to be on all these podcasts, and you have to be pitching publications, and you gotta be doing TV, and you're getting stressed just like listening to me list all those things. Like,
It's too many.
So pick like a couple of things, one or two things, really focus in on those, and then you will see the results. The things that you prioritize, the things that you focus on, you will see results from that.
Absolutely. You know, we talked about how I made some shifts during the pandemic. Over the last year and a half, have you seen shifts in either the type of content that the press want to be pitched or how they want to be pitched? Have any of those strategies changed?
So some things have changed, some things hasn't. The thing that has changed the most has been TV, where TV has been like local TV. And all y'all listening out there, if you're like, that feels intimidating, or that is not like the space for me, I would question that. I would ask you to dig deeper with that, because especially with local business owners, local TV is always looking to feature, you know, they're always looking for stories. And so if you have a, you know, unique story to share, which every one of you does, you should join Labs to do my presentation where I tell you how to do that.
It was so good.
Small plug.
It was so good.
you know, they are always looking for stories. They always want to feature small businesses. And the great thing about TV is that because of COVID, you don't have to go into studio. And so they're doing it all remotely still. And I don't think that that's going to change because now that they have the technology and they know how to do remote interviews, it's just like popping onto the Zoom interview like we're on right now. I feel like everybody is familiar with Zoom now.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot less stressful, too. I feel like going into the studio is, you know, hair and makeup and like just like the lights and it's a lot of people and just all these things. It's a lot of that is removed and stripped down. So you can do interviews from your home. And I know that there's several people out there that listen to this podcast that are in the Proof to Product community that have done local TV interviews during COVID, which is amazing. So that's a kind of a big change in terms of stories and like how they want to be pitched. Still, most people want to be pitched via email. So like that is the best way to put yourself out there. I would make sure to, you know, just make everything like timely and relevant. Those are the two things that you want to look at the most. Like what is going on at the world at large? What is going on, you know, in the area that you're pitching? Let's say if you are pitching like local regional magazines, publications, TV, and that's a great place to start, right? So if you're a little intimidated with pitching, you know, Martha Stewart or Real Simple, start with some local regional magazines and outlets. Again, they are dying for content. They are always looking for story ideas. And that kind of helps you like get your feet wet and get used to it. But just looking at, you know, the seasons of the year, like, is it back to school time? Is it holiday time? I know holiday time is a big time for product-based business owners.
Yeah.
Beginning of the year, just thinking about like your products and how they are timely and relevant throughout the year. And then kind of pitching around, like using those specific products to pitch at that time so that it's the most relevant to the person that's receiving that pitch.
I love that. And you guys, if you want more information too on like pitching gift guides and things like that, Brittany did do an outstanding program in our labs program. I know she already plugged it once, but she talked about the lead times because that's an important piece. The lead times for these different types of press opportunities varies depending on what it is. I mean, one of my TV interviews, they called that morning and were like, hey, can you be on Zoom in a few hours? I had to like scramble out of yoga pants and into it like.
Yeah. I mean, your New York Times interview, that was like an urgent, like,
yeah,
they connected with you on a Friday afternoon. And it was, and so that's the thing with the traditional media, at least TV and publications, sometimes it is fast. Sometimes you have to respond quickly. But if you have if you start establishing these relationships with people, and here's the thing, 5 years ago, I didn't have relationships with any of the people that I have relationships with now. Like,
yeah,
none of these journalists knew me. None of these editors knew me. None of these podcast hosts knew me. So the thing is, you have to start at some point. I think a lot of people are like, well, I don't have these relationships. Like, they're never going to pick me. Well, they're never going to pick you if you never send them anything, if you never send them a pitch, if you never communicate with them. And now, you know, a lot of journalists and producers, they spend more of their time on Twitter, which I know isn't as popular for product-based business owners. But some of them are starting to have Instagram accounts. So if you can find any writers who are on Instagram, like, give them a follow, interact with their content. Like, they are also human beings too. They are not robots. So if you kind of get into where they are spending time, then whenever you send a pitch, it's not as cold.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. We've talked about some of the fears people have about being visible in their business. We've shared in the past and also a little bit here about like strategies for pitching yourself. Let's talk about how to leverage these press opportunities to benefit our business. And so I guess first off, let's talk about what kind of goals do your clients have when they come to you and say, I want to be more visible. What are they trying to achieve through this visibility?
Yep. So it can be a variety of things. So some people come to us and they're just like, I want to overall increase my brand awareness and brand trust with the name of my company and my own personal name. And so that is a little more general, right? Mm-hmm. That's not tied to a specific sales role,
right,
or goal. So, but they just want to be kind of out there. And that serves a purpose because, you know, it's kind of like you want to be in a lot of different places. So people start to just see your name. And then, of course, if you are in these, you know, if you're interviewed on TV, if you're interviewed on publications, that means something to people. So in terms of like building that brand trust, that builds brand trust with new people, but it also builds trust with your current audience too. Mm-hmm. People that followed you, Katie, as an example, whenever you were interviewed on TV, whenever you were seen as like a go-to person for that New York Times article, we didn't pitch that.
No, we didn't.
You got that because they outreached to you because you already had credibility and trust within your industry and you are seen as that expert, and that's why they came to you. And here's the thing, I can't exactly say like because Katie had all these other interviews prior and because she was interviewed on TV, that is like the sole reason why they picked you to interview, but that definitely helps, right?
Right, right.
And so that is one reason. Another reason why people come to us is the goal of, I want to have more sales. I want to have more leads. I want to increase, you know, customers for my products. And that is where you can definitely do that with PR and visibility. Obviously, like if you are trying to grow in front of new audiences, being visible in front of different audiences is the best way to do that. For the product-based industry, I'll say you can see sales from being featured in publications. Mm-hmm. Now, other industries like service-based people, you don't see as much translation of like, oh, I saw you in Forbes and like I yep. immediately purchased something from you. But with the product-based people, particularly whenever you are featuring products like those like BuzzFeed roundups, I know that there was a past person.
Yeah.
One of Several. Your longtime Paper Camp attendees, she was featured in a BuzzFeed article and she was like, I sold out of my products. Like,
yeah, it causes in panic in some people when they
it causes panic. Yeah. And that's a thing too. I'm glad you brought that up because some people think, oh, once I get featured in Oprah or BuzzFeed, like that will make my business. But it can also break it where if you are not prepared to take on that load, it can cause way more problems. And here's the thing, you can never capture those people again.
Yep.
So if you don't have the inventory to support something like that, maybe wait. Like maybe think about when you want to be visible and making sure that you can, you know, manufacturing wise, yeah. get the products to people. Because if they flood and they order and then they don't receive their product for 6 months, you're going to lose them. And yeah. they probably won't come back. And then they have like that first experience with you is kind of a negative experience. So I don't say that to scare people, but I think sometimes it's like people like want to be sold out and like that can be great. And it can be like, oh,
it's shoot. Also completely like, overwhelming. I've seen it yeah. from press mentions. I've seen it when some of our manufacturers start working with sales reps and they don't have the infrastructure and the fulfillment yep. systems in place to actually process the orders that the sales reps send to them. I've seen it even from something like a single market, like the fair market that was happening online, people getting inundated and then just panicking because, like you said, they don't have the inventory or the fulfillment system or any of that stuff. So I agree with you. I think this is where we need to look deep into our own, like the foundation of our business and make sure we have yes. things in order before we then start going out for this visibility factor too. Okay, so those are the goals. Do you have any examples you could share of people that are really doing a great job of leveraging these press opportunities to reach their goals, whether that's sales or just brand recognition? I'm putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm going to think. So I will say like what I see that works best is like one, let's say you get the press mention. You get featured in some place, like what do you do with that to really yeah. like leverage it for your own audience, to leverage it for the current new people? I've seen some different people do some, you know, different things. And so one, you can repurpose these press features. So the things that you are pitching out, let's just say if you're like actively pitching gift guides, those are gift guides that you can create on your own website, like as blog content, which then you can use as Pinterest content, which then you can use as Instagram content, which, you know, like you can kind of like keep going.
Yep.
So anything, a big thing that we do with our clients is we repurpose the heck out of everything. So if we come up with a new pitch idea that we are sending out, we are also having our clients use that as their own content and vice versa. So we will see what content they have. If you already have blog posts, if you have Instagram content where you do, you know, like a gift guide roundup of some of your products, let's reverse that. Let's use that as pitching material. Also, I see this is kind of a a basic tip, but I see so many people don't do it, is whenever they are featured, they don't actually promote it.
Yeah.
They don't actually tell people, which I think a couple of reasons why that happens. I think some people don't want to be seen as like braggy or boastful, which I understand that. And part of, you know, to me, it's like part of the like karma of being of these people featuring you is you also sharing about it so that they can get more exposure as well, because they're trying to grow their audience too. And two, it goes back to it builds that brand trust with your current audience. If people start to see that you are featured everywhere, it has this feeling for your audience of excitement and like, oh, I want in on this too. She's everywhere. Like, I got to check out what these products are. I got to go, like, I got to get in on this.
I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but no, how many times have we looked at a product or a brand and been like, I remember when they were just starting, or I remember when this first came out, and you're like, you're filled with pride for them, right? That like, oh my gosh, now I'm seeing them all over the place, or they just got funding, or they, you know, they're featured here. And it's like, you're excited for them. I 100% agree.
And you kind of see like whenever people are, when you see like all your friends talking about like, oh, have you checked this out? Like me and you and like, we have like a, you know, group Voxer with some people. And it's like, you see all these people be like, everybody is talking about so-and-so. And like, what is, I'm interested. And it's like, even me and you could have no idea who the person is, but it's like, well, I see people talking about them. I see them everywhere. It's the same thing with product-based business. It's like, people want in on that. So if there is excitement around you and if you are sharing about that, like people get excited for you. Again, to go back to what I said earlier, like most people are rooting for you. They want to see you get press. So if you're not sharing about those opportunities that you're getting, you're just doing a disservice to yourself.
100%. Okay, let's do a quick checklist for the listeners of if they are featured somewhere in a press mention or a podcast or something. Let's run down all the different places that they should be sharing that information.
So, ironic that you say that. This was not prepared for. I have a checklist. I have a download. I have a free download checklist. We can do like prooftoproduct.com/Brittany. And like there you can download this checklist that tells you all the places that you need to to promote it.
Amazing. But I was going to do an on-the-air brainstorm here, but they can get the checklist from you. Perfect. That's okay.
There we go. Amazing.
But I will say, too, that, like, I'm sometimes shy guy about sharing where I've been featured.
Yeah, sometimes I have to push you. I'll be honest with the audience. Like, I'm like, Katie, are we not talking about this? Come on.
I know. But then I have to admit, too, that, like, I'll do a story about it. Or I'll put it in our feed. But, like, I'll forget to put it on our website. Or not, you know, I just forget to update our logos that we have and stuff. But like, it should totally be in a blog post. It should be in more than just a single post on Instagram. It should be in the stories. It should be, you know, I really need to do a better job of that. So I will be downloading your checklist as well. So guys, we will put that link in the show notes once Brittany has that up so that you can grab that too. Britt, tell us what's going on for you for the last half of the year. Like, well, I guess we're past the halfway point, but what do you have going on the rest of the year and into next year that you want to share with everybody?
Yes. So we have our Done For You services where we do this pitching and we become your publicist and we do all of the heavy lifting. That is our signature service. Like I said, I've worked with a lot of product-based people. So if you are looking for that kind of hands-off approach and you don't want to do any pitching yourself, that is an option for you. We also have a variety of different options where I have like strategy calls, pitch power hours, where if you just want to like get on Zoom, really hone in on like, I really want to focus on getting more eyes on this product. Like, what would you tell me to do? That is the call. That is the service that you can hop on a call with me. We will go through your visibility strategy. I have some group program work that people can join if they want to do it kind of together with other people.
Awesome.
Putting yourself out there and pitching yourself. And here's the thing too, if you have a virtual assistant, if you work with somebody already who kind of knows you, knows your business, but they don't know about PR, perhaps thinking about signing up for my course where they could go through the program and then implement on your behalf if working with us is a little out of your price range. So there are options for people, but I just want to help, you know, as many people as possible know that like, Your story matters. People want to hear from you. People want to see you out there. And so whatever way I can convince you all to do that, like that's what my purpose is.
I love it. I absolutely love it. All right. Tell everybody where they can find you, where they can listen to your podcast and learn all about these different services you offer.
Yes. The podcast name is called The Human Connection Podcast. You can find us at humanconnectionagency.com. Personal social media is Brittany L. Lynn. That's kind of all of my personal socials, and that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you, lady, for joining us today, and thank you for sharing this awesome insight.
Thanks so much, Katie.
All right, friends, make sure you get your hands on that free checklist that Brittany offered up to all of us on how to repurpose our press mentions. You can go to proof2product.com/Brittany to get your hands on that. We will include the link in the show notes too, in case you're on the go and need to access that later. Now, can I ask a favor before you go? If you've been listening to Proof to Product for a while and you've implemented some of the strategies in your business with success, can you please leave us a 5-star rating and write a review in Apple Podcast? It helps us get more ears on the show, and we're working towards a big, lofty goal of hitting 1 million downloads. So thank you in advance for your reviews and for sharing our show with your friends. It is greatly appreciated. All right, friends, talk soon, and I'll be back next week with a new episode.